Well, I ask for your prayers this afternoon. Lord, bless His Word to us. Make it alive and real and an inspiration to our hearts. I'd like to look at 2 Corinthians, the third chapter. Third chapter of 2 Corinthians. I want to start with the last verse of the two verses of the chapter here. 17 and 18. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Thinking a little bit this afternoon of glory, the world has an idea of what glory is. The glory years, those times when many times maybe it's someone that's at the pinnacle of their career. Maybe it's someone in the sports world who is the king. I'll show you how much I follow sports. Go up to Cleveland and you see signs about welcome the king and all. Someone that's at the height or the pinnacle of their success. It's all, there's glory and recognition and fame and everything they do, it just seems to prosper in the realm for which they're known. And the legends go on about Babe Ruth and all of those that have gone before. You know, that glory lasts for a little while. That glory is there for a small window of time. And you know, you don't play baseball like that, though, once you get up in the senior citizen years of life. And the glory starts to fade then. It's a thing of the past now. It's something that I look back on, and maybe I can still have all the memorabilia hanging on the walls and trying to remember back to that day, to that time, whenever there was glory, whenever I can remember what the applause and all of that. I can't imagine. I'm thankful I'm not in that kind of place. Don't have to deal with all that kind of nonsense. You know, that's glory to the world. To the world, that's a lot of the glory that they just revel in and thrive, even if they're not the object of it. That which they set their eyes on and recognize as being something to glory in. Well, I'm thankful today that we have something so far greater than the glory of this world. So much far exceeding the glory, if you can even call it the glory, of this world, of what this flesh and this world has to offer, the glory of the Lord. The world is, seemed like always looking for some kind of thrill, some kind of pleasure or excitement or adrenaline rush of some sort. It never ceases to amaze me the things that I hear of folks doing. Trying to get an adrenaline rush, trying to push the limits and go further and faster and do things more extreme than anyone else has ever done before. There's a need in me to be able to feel that. To be able to feel that thrill. I know saw an advertisement a few years ago, and be honest, it kind of interested me a little bit. It was about a racetrack, I think, over in Indiana. You could pay a sum of money and you could go drive. You take the pick of your car, Lamborghini or Ferrari or whatever it is, and it's yours to drive. You open it up and drive around the course. I thought that'd be pretty neat. It'd be pretty neat to be able to do that and say that I've done it. But I look at the cost and several hundred dollars for in a car that goes that fast, well, it lasts about 30 seconds and it's gone. A 30-second thrill ride, joy, excitement, whatever it is, and then it's something of the past. It's something that I have to look back on. But I'm thankful, as the song says, of number 300, I found a greater treasure. I found something beyond what this old world has to offer. I've tasted, I'm drinking at the fountain where I ever would abide. For I've tasted life's pure fountain and my soul is satisfied. There's no thirsting for life's pleasures nor adorning rich and gay. For I found a richer treasure, one that fadeth not away. I found something that lives on. It doesn't fade away. It doesn't fade back into the background of my memory. I have to look back and remember and try to think back on a time, but I'm thankful for the glory of the Lord. I'm thankful for something that abides with us, that's not just a short-lived thrill ride, a short-lived excitement or adrenaline rush or something that we work up or pump up within us, and it's fleeting and it's gone. But the scripture here talks about beholding, looking upon, looking steadfastly upon the glory of the Lord. By way of context here, you look through the scripture, and I'd like to read a few of these verses. I love this chapter. Don't want to read it all. But it's talking about the administration of the Old Testament, that of the letter. Seventh verse says, if the administration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? Been reading some of that account lately. Whenever the Lord called Moses up into the mountain, He told him, go and make sure that you've partitioned or you've made boundaries for the people, that they don't get close to the mountain. Because if anyone gets close to it, they're going to die. They're going to perish there. And the glory of the Lord was very manifest and very evident. And the mountain, just put yourself for a moment in the children of Israel's shoes. As they were there and they stood and they were to prepare themselves because the Lord was going to talk to them. And as they heard a voice thundering out of heaven, and then they looked and they beheld the mountain as it shook and it trembled, and they saw, as it were, a smoke, a cloud of smoke that descended over the mountain, and lightnings. It's no wonder that they feared and they trembled and they shook. You know, there was a glory in that. The glory of the Lord. Scripture talks about it coming down and filling the temple. The glory of the Lord came down and it filled the room, and they weren't able to stand in the place. And the pillars of the door, they shook and they trembled in the presence of the Lord. Oh, how glorious it would have been. What would it have been to be Moses? The one that the Lord said, you're allowed to come through the boundary. I want you to come up into the very presence of the Lord. Oh, what would it have been to climb that mountain with all of that happening and to feel and to recognize the glory of the Lord. But the scripture talks of a better day. The scripture talks of something far more glorious than that. Far more glorious than the outward manifestation of His glory and presence. The ministration of the Spirit. The glory of the Spirit that will be manifested within every one of us will be far greater in glory. And it goes on to talk about that old former glory. It's not even worthy to be compared, in my own words here. It's not even by comparison. There is no glory. It fades away. It fades into the background in comparison to what the Lord has given to us today. The ministration of the Spirit of life, that He's willing to come down within our hearts and dwell there by His glory and by His presence. You know, Moses was changed. Moses was transformed. His very image was transformed, going into the presence and the glory of the Lord. So much so that whenever he came down, his countenance was transformed. It was changed. It did something to Moses. Folks, you know, pressing into the very presence and the glory of the Lord will change you. The scripture talks about here, we all with open face. What is the open face? Talks about those under the Old Testament, that as Moses came down and they looked on Moses, they couldn't behold it. They couldn't look upon it. The glory of the Lord, carnal man is not able to take it in. The carnality, the flesh is not able to take it in or stand in the presence of the glory of the Lord. And so as they looked upon and beheld that, they had to cover their eyes, and he had to put a veil over his face so that it would block some of the glory, so that it would veil it enough that they'd be able to still look upon it. The scripture explains that there are still those under the reading of the law where the veil is yet taken away. There are still many who, through the veil of flesh, The veil of carnality, I can't see the glory of the Spirit. I hear what you're talking about. I see the things that you're doing, but I can't really see the substance of it. I can't see the glory of it. The flesh, to the flesh, the things of the Spirit are foolishness. Not able to see it. Not able to comprehend it. Not able to look upon it and take it in while the Lord is prepared by His Spirit. It is a quickening spirit. You can read in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul was explaining about the body and what it was to be in the resurrection. They were having a hard time understanding. You know, we do. It's hard for us, even as saints of God, to be able to take in the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. You know, it's hard for me here in this life to be able to imagine, and I like to try. I like to imagine. I like to meditate upon it. Lord, what's it going to be? The first day in paradise. What'll it be the first day that I see Your face face to face? What is the feeling going to be? You know, one thing I do know by faith, it'll fully repay everything that I've had to sacrifice or pay or give up in this life. It'll fully and amply repay that. You hear folks saying, I don't know what the big deal is about heaven. I don't want to go up and sit on a cloud strumming on a harp somewhere. I like what I have. So many people are so attached and tied to this earth. They can't see beyond the flesh. They're not able to see beyond the veil of the flesh that's over their eyes. Lord, help us that we be able, the veil to be taken away, that I be able to steadfastly behold the glory of the Lord. But even in that, the Scripture says we see through a glass darkly, but then we'll see face to face. In that day, the last veil, the limitation of the flesh, the limitation of my human mortal mind, all that will be taken away. It'll all be clear and open before me whenever I stand then and steadfastly behold the glory of the Lord, then face to face. Faith will be no more, because our faith will be lost in the sight. Our faith then will be gone. We're not holding on to faith, looking forward to it by a glimpse of it, but now it's been consumed by the sight of it. What is the earnest of our inheritance? That is our inheritance. Folks, that's the promise that we've been given. It's what we're looking for. We're seeking a better country, aren't we? We have something better than this in this life. What was it that Scripture said of Moses? Moses 11 and 24. Choosing rather, Moses by faith, when he was called a son of Pharaoh's daughter, he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. There was something that Moses saw. There was something beyond the glory and splendor of Egypt. There was something beyond the finery of the Pharaoh's court. And oh, how great it must have been. He was among the elite of the elite in the land of Egypt. Everything that he could have wished, the ways of life that he could have hoped for, that the flesh could have cried out to hold on to. Oh, the enemy would like to use our flesh as a tool. For us, our flesh to cry out and to want to hold on to the things of this world. But Moses, as he looked by faith, it said, he realized that there was something greater than this. There's something far beyond this glory that I'm looking at now. You realize that's the same man we're talking about that went up into the mount? How do you think that glory compared? How do you think the glory of the Lord on top of the mount compared to the finery of Egypt? I don't think there was comparison. But he had to be willing to say, I leave it all behind. I'm willing to deny the fulfillment or the glory of the flesh, the things that the flesh in this world have to offer. I'm looking for something better. They profess plainly that they seek a better country. That I'm looking for something better than what you have to offer here. Why is it that I He asked me why I love my Savior, as the song says, why I choose to follow Him. Oh, let me explain to you. Let me tell you about a vision that I have, about something you may not be able to see it. Oh, I would that you could. But it's only by the Spirit, see, the glory of the Spirit. It's only as the spiritual eyes are able to understand the things that the Lord has revealed unto us. Oh, there's something better than what this flesh has to offer anyway. So Moses laid hold of that, believed it, and claimed it. You know, Romans, the first chapter, 23rd verse, it says that those who walked in disobedience, rebellion to the Lord, they changed the glory of God into an image. They exchanged it. They exchanged what they could have had. They exchanged the true glory, the only real glory of God. They were willing, in other words, not only to accept it, but to esteem it as not, to count it as something unworthy. Their value system was off. They were willing to look to something else and accept something that was just an image, like unto mortal man. But oh, as we've already talked about, that glory is so fleeting. It so quickly passes away. And so many today are accepting the thrills, the excitement, the pleasure, the satisfaction. You know, the excitement people get from getting a new iPhone. You know the thrill that they get from that, some of them that are willing to go and camp in line in a parking lot for days on end, to be the first one of the first 100 to hold a new iPhone. Oh, it's wonderful. I'm holding this new device. What happens to an iPhone? How long do you have an iPhone before it's outdated? How long do you have the newest device and gadget before now it's a thing of the past? Now, you see, you have to keep striving for something more and more. The glory of one passes away and I'm having to reach for the glory of another. It soon fades away into the background. And I then have to grasp forward, always reaching for something more, because the glory is so elusive and so fading. I'd like to look at the 84th chapter of Psalms. Psalms 84. We sing a song. It says, just a day thy courts within far exceedeth all in sin. This scripture says, 10th verse, for a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. A day in thy courts is better than 1,000 what? What is 1,000? Whenever the scripture speaks of 1,000, reminded of a place that it says, the Lord owns the cattle upon 1,000 hills. Well, whose are the cattle on the 1,000 and first hill? It's all the Lord's. 1,000 is a symbolic number representing an immeasurable number, an immeasurable multitude or count beyond what you're able to count. So it is of the vision of 144,000, the 100 in Revelation that stood before the throne. 144 is a symbolic number of the church under the New and the Old Testament, but a multiplier of 1,000. Of an innumerable host, an innumerable count of people. Lord, better is one day in thy presence, in thy courts, than 1,000 of anything. 1,000 of anything that the world has to offer. 1,000 days with sometimes you hear of lotteries and drawings and one thing and another. Put your name in the hat and you can win a chance to spend a day with so-and-so. This celebrity or that celebrity, and you spend a day with them. Lord, I'd rather spend one day in your presence. Amen. One day in your tabernacle, one day where the presence of the Lord is. Although the world may laugh at it and not understand it, Lord, I've tasted something. I've seen something. It spoils me for anything else. You know, these are the words of one from the inside looking out. It's one that's tasted of the goodness of the Lord. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Can we say the same thing? You know, that's our, as the people of God, that is our duty. Of who else of the world is going to be able to give a testimony like this? No, take your stuff. Take your pleasures. Take the things that you find so much thrill in. I found a richer treasure. One that fadeth not, just I'm pursuing a richer treasure. I think there's something better than that, but I found it. Oh, I found it, Lord, in Thee. An everlasting store of comfort, joy, and bliss for me. How could I wish for more? What else is there? How much fuller could my soul get to say, I still need something else? I would that the Lord help us to be full this afternoon. That our cup would be full and flowing over today with and by the glory of the Lord. Just a day in His courts. I'd rather be a doorkeeper. Lord, if it means me filling the place of a servant or being in the position of a beggar, Lord, just let me come into Your presence. Lord, just let me come and sit even in the back and let me hear the songs of Zion going forth. Let me feel Your Spirit pass by. Let me hear the whisper of Your voice. Is that our desire more than anything else? It's a better place to be than any place that the world has to offer. Be able to look upon and behold the glory of the Lord. I'd like to look at song number 81. The Lord inspired this song to me so richly this week. Maybe we can sing it later, but it says, "Let worldly minds the world pursue. It has no charms for me. Once I admired its trifles too, but grace hath set me free. Its pleasures can no longer please, nor happiness afford. Far from my heart," now listen to this, "far from my heart be joys like these, for I have seen the Lord. Once I enjoyed the trifles," then it says here, "Let worldly mind," go ahead and pursue your worldly ways. Go ahead and rush after the latest and the greatest and the thrills of Hollywood and whatever it is that you're satisfying yourself with. Once it had a draw on me too. I understand why you're pursuing it, but I found something better. "Far from my heart be joys like these." Is there joy? Of course there is. The pleasures of sin for a season. But it's so fleeting, it's so temporary, and with so many side effects and collateral damage to it. I found a greater treasure, one that fadeth not away, far from my heart, because now I've seen the Lord. I've seen the Lord now. You can't offer me anything better than that. You can't offer me any more thrilling than that. Any more, can I even say, adrenaline rushing, if that's what you're looking for. You're looking for a rush. Get into a place alone with the Lord. Get everything clear between you and Him and let Him come and flood your soul with glory. Let Him come and open up a scripture to you. So yes, Bible study is exciting. Yes, I do want to go and drive to camp meeting. There's something within it, see, that thrills me. Now I have seen the Lord. As by the light of opening day, the stars are all concealed, so earthly pleasures fade away. Just as Apostle Paul talked about in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he said, there is the glory of the sun, glory of the moon. The stars differ in their glory one from another. There's a glory of this world. There's a glory of the flesh. There's a thrill to the fulfillment of the flesh. But when I've seen the Lord, whenever the real day star has arisen in my heart, whenever I'm able to see what real glory is, you know, it just fades away. Let worldly pleasures fade away. Lord, help my heart to be fixed on You. I'd like to look at the fifth chapter of Galatians. I believe this holds an answer to us, to many of folks' struggles today. Galatians 5 and 16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." You know, as I look on it and I hear folks say, it's so hard. It's so hard having to live that kind of life. I've tried it. I just can't, and I try so hard. You know, there is an effort that we have to put forth. There is a dying out to the flesh. We have to die out to the flesh that we might live and walk in the Spirit. But you know, once I have tasted, once I have seen the Lord, walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Why? Because I'm constrained and bound and I can't move. Because it's something that I have myself so tied up with. Folks, you walk in the Spirit and it'll spoil you for anything else. You won't want to fulfill the lust of the flesh. There won't be a desire to walk after it. So what then is the instruction? Seek the glory of the Lord. I know we know these things, but I hope we'll be challenged and encouraged this afternoon to realize and remember we have a portion that fully satisfies, that fully fills every longing of our hearts. And folks, whenever the enemy would come along and try to offer the trifles of this world, I can sing this song. Once I admire their trifles too, I don't want it. Grace has set me free. You're offering me another kind of pleasure. You're trying to allure me somehow by this. I'm free from it. I'm free from that now. I've seen the Lord. And it spoiled me to anything else. Creatures no more divide my choice. I bid them all depart. His name, His love, His gracious voice have fixed my roving heart. We sang the song this morning, "Sweet peace and love now reign within, like rolling rivers flow, thus keeping all my life from sin in this vain world below." Whenever I've tasted, whenever I'm drinking freely of life's pure river, whenever I'm walking in the Spirit, whenever I'm beholding His face, it says we all, with open face, beholding the glory of the Lord, we're changed. Moses' figure was changed, but folks, it's not just the outward figure. It'll reflect, as we've been hearing in Sunday school, it'll reflect, and it is to reflect the glory of the Lord as well. But the inward man is changed, is transformed. As I'm in that place that I'm beholding, where I'm clear, where the veil's taken away, I have that closeness in my spirit with the Lord. I'm walking in the Spirit. I'm drinking of the Spirit. I'm satisfying the Spirit and not walking after the things of the flesh. Oh, it'll fulfill us and satisfy us and keep us. Whenever the enemy comes along, I can say I'm satisfied. I'd like to close in the 17th chapter of Psalms. Psalm 17. Verse 15. Well, let's read a little before here. 13. "Arise, O Lord, disappoint him, cast him down. Deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword. From men which are thy hand, O Lord, from men of the world, which have their portion in this life, and whose belly thou fillest with hid treasure, they are full of children, and leave the rest of their substance to their babes." You can read in, I believe it's the second chapter of Hosea. The Lord said an instruction to go and talking to my people and liken the children of Israel unto an adulterous woman that went out and sought the pleasures of other lovers and was trying to satisfy herself with the love of others. He said, "I've hedged up her way. that she's not able to satisfy, paraphrase, not able to satisfy or find the fulfillment in it until she come to the place that she realizes that her husband is the Lord. Until she comes to the place to realize that's the one that satisfies. Oh, the scripture in Song of Solomon, it talks about, I have found him whom my soul loveth. I found it, Lord, in thee. I know that's a song in our book as well, one of Brother Sam's favorites. I found it, Lord, in thee. I found what I've been searching for, what I've been looking for so long, and it satisfies my soul. As for me, then it says, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Lord, whenever I awake and see your image, whenever I, in this life, Lord, whenever I can see that image being changed and transformed into your image, Lord, I'm satisfied. I don't long for anything else and all to be able to think of the ultimate glory. Lord, when I awake and see your glory face to face, Lord, I'm satisfied. Satisfied in my portion that you've given me. The Lord is my portion. You can take your portion. You can go fill your cup with whatever you want to fill it with. But the Lord is my portion. And I want to drink of Him. I want to drink more fully. I want to walk in the Spirit. Behold the Spirit. You pray for me. Amen.